Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really glad you tuned in today. I think you're here on purpose. Really, we've got a gripping conversation ahead. You know, it's true that God does. He works all things together for the good. But when we're hit with sudden tragedy, all we can see and feel at the moment is the pain in our hearts. And when you're faced with that kind of fear and heartbreak, it's hard to imagine for even a moment how a loss can be redeemed. Like, how is this okay? How is this your will, God? You could intervene. Why don't you? Why won't you? Those are the questions that plague us often when hardship and tragedy hit us. Well, my guest today, Sherry Burgess, writes this. She says, I never say that my son died because I don't feel that he has. I truly see him as going on to another place. Bronner didn't cease to exist. He's been transported to another land, distant and mysterious in that I've never been there before, nor can I go there right now. But it also is the most assured and concrete of places in that I am certain of the way, and I long for it like no place on earth. Heaven has my heart, my citizenship, my baby, and my God. It is the land of the living and the kingdom of light. In contrast, earth is the land of the lost and of the dying. She further writes, many people seek God in a way that is only palatable to their own desires. They want God to be who they want him to be, not who he really is. And so they never really find the real, true God. But when you seek God for who he really, truly is, you'll find that he is magnificent. That's just beautiful. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sherry Burgess is the wife of nationally syndicated radio host Rick Burgess of The Rick and Bubba Show. They are both sought-after ministry speakers and marriage conference hosts. Sherry is also mother of two teenage sons at home and two adult children. Her prayer is that the loss of her youngest son, Bronner, will continue to produce fruit for God for many years to come. The Burgess family live in Birmingham, Alabama. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Susie.
Honored to meet you, dear girl, and I know we've got some mutual good friends, and it just knits my heart to you all the more. So Sherry, before we get into just the content of your story, we always love to start our conversations talking scripture. Wondering, I know you're someone who deeply loves God's word. Is there a passage that you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
Well, I have a passage that has just been transformative for me. My story is that my son, Bronner, 2.5, went to heaven 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And after that great, great loss and heartbreak, I cried out to God for answers, and he gave them. But on the one-year anniversary of Bronner's heaven going, these two scriptures just jumped off the page for me, for the why. And they are 1 Peter 4:1-2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. And I see that now as my calling, to not live for myself, not for my human passions, but for God's will, and whatever that may be.
When you think about, well, let's start here. Tell me about when Jesus first became your everything, a little bit of backstory on your faith journey.
Well, you know, like many, many people living in the South, and especially in Alabama, which is the, you know, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, grew up knowing about Jesus, going to church, even may prayed, you know, went down at an altar call and made some professions of faith in my life at younger ages. But it truly was not until my wedding day that God just gripped me with his holiness, saying, this is where I want you to be. This is who I want you to be. And I think Rick and I, my husband and I, growing together and coming together as husband and wife is what it took to say, you know what, we don't want just a little bit of God. We want all of him we can. And so we just threw ourselves into the Word of God, and just it became the focal point of everything that we are and everything we do. Instead of just a little bit here and there, we became just all in for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that was in 1996. Our wedding day was February 10th, 1996, and ever since then, we have just really been pursuing God with everything that we can.
You know, I remember in the story, Sherry, as I'm reading, and I thought, you know, this really, I loved your honesty here because it reflects the heart of so many American Christians, but you had this real passion for Jesus and a real desire to kind of have heaven on earth. So it's like you wanted to chase after Jesus and you wanted your kids to have all the things that you didn't have and to have some of the material things and you know, do the holiday thing and do the, you know, the American, wonderful American dream. And you really, like most, didn't think anything of that. Talk about how God really rocked your world and showed you, maybe put eternity in your heart with a little bit more clarity.
Well, you know, it's like any marriage. When you first come to God and you're all excited, and there's kind of a honeymoon period where everything is wonderful and good, and I, for one, was so excited and overjoyed when I realized that God really did have all the answers, and I could go to him with everything. And so I understood how he had cleansed me of my sin and loved me and would die for me, and I just had this great honeymoon period with God, with my husband, with life in general. When I first became a Christian, I was overflowing with joy, and we were very blessed. We felt protected. So when my son drowned in our pool on a cold and dark January night in 2008, it was baffling for me. I was confused. I didn't understand what was going on at all. And so I ran to Scripture, and I found out, oh, my goodness, there's two pages of perfect in here. I read Revelation chapter 21 when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God, adorned as a bride for her husband, and then God will be here with us. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be crying or pain or death anymore. And then Jesus will say, behold, I am making all things new. And so I see one page of perfect at the end, one page of perfect at the beginning, before the fall. In my Bible, it's just one page. And then everything else in between is a mixture of good and bad. But all of it screams redemption. 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 It's not about heaven on earth here. It's about God redeeming a fallen world, a fallen creation, fallen man. And he does that through sacrifice, through suffering. Jesus is not only the founder of our faith, he is the perfecter of our faith. So, yes, my faith had been founded upon that rock. Now, in suffering, in pain, he was perfecting me.
Hmm.
And he did that by humbling me, first of all. When I first saw my baby lying there without life in his body, I immediately go to God, please, please send him back. Please don't do this. Please give me my son back. And I pray that over and over and over again as emergency workers were trying to revive him, as we were driving all the way to the emergency room, praying. And that's all my mother's heart wanted, was my baby. And when I got into the emergency room, I fell on my face, prostrate before the Lord, continuing to pray for the life of my child. And periodically I would look up to see if they had gotten anything on the heart monitor, and never saw anything come up. And so that last time, as I knelt back down over a chair to pray, I felt these words rising up from within, deep within, like I was hearing them. They rose up into my mind as if I were hearing them rather than praying them myself. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit began to pray for me and through me. And it was this that he said, "Not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done. Not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done." And so I stood up at that moment, and this peace did come over me that transcends all understanding. And the doctor told me that they were going to have to stop their efforts to save him. And I was able to look back at him and say, okay. That was the moment when I knew that this was God's will. But my question was, why? Why does God will this? And that was my relentless pursuit to find that out. Why? Why would God take my son? I knew that he did, because I knew Scripture says that not even a sparrow falls apart from the Lord. And in Psalm 139, it says that all our days are numbered before there are even one of them. So I knew from the very beginning that this was from God's hand, that he was doing a great work in it. So I saw God in a new way. I saw him as more powerful, greater, higher than I ever had before. And it made me see myself in perspective to his great power. And that is very, very humbling. And there are many, many other lessons that I learned as we went on that we can talk about.
Talking to Sherry Burgess today, title of her book is Bronner, A Journey to Understand Bronner, this darling, darling little boy. She's got four copies. If you've got a question, I think I want to give her as much time as possible. You can call in, give them to Grace, and she'll pass them on, 877-933-2484. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Bronner in the subject line. Give me your mailing address if you want to go in the drawing. If you want me to ask Sherry a question, you can include a question in your email as well. Talking to Sherry Burgess, my prayer for you at the end of this hour is that God sets eternity in your heart, I mean, that you wrap your arms around the eternity that God has set in your heart. We are just passing through. We're not made for this world. We're made for another world. Don't go away. More with Sherry Burgess when we return.
With my roots deep in you, I'll grow the branch that bears the fruit. And though I'm small, I'll still be standing in the storm. 'Cause I am planted by the river and by your streams of living water. And I'll grow up strong and beautiful. beautiful, all for your splendor, Lord.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a conversation with Sherry Burgess. She has a handful of kids, and her little Bronner, when he was 2 years old, drowned in the family pool. And she and her husband were busy in ministry. Her husband was speaking at a youth retreat when it happened. They even committed the pool to the Lord and asked that nobody get hurt in that pool. And so the question of why, Lord, why did you allow this to happen just was ringing through her heart. We've lost connection with her. We're trying to get her back on here again. I see it's coming along just fine. But she said before the break that she really identified that as tragic and terrible as this was, God was with her as she was in the hospital watching and waiting for them to revive her son, and it didn't happen. And she was like, no, God, no, God, don't take him. Something came up from the center of her spirit. It was the Holy Spirit praying for her in words that she didn't have herself, not mine, but thine be done. And she surrendered. And it was the Spirit of God praying through her. But as soon as she was able to pray that prayer, peace came over her. And Sherry, I think we've got you back on the line now. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you, dear. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. You know, before we get into this why question that you wrestled with God, and I love that you went after that with the Lord to get some answers. Mm-hmm. And I know I told you before the show, many are listening today who are in the valley of the shadow, and they're just so shell-shocked by it that they need their own answers. I want to know if your thoughts on, because when the Holy Spirit just whispered to you, not mine but thine, it's like the Holy Spirit helped you pray a prayer that there's no way you could have prayed on your own. But when you prayed it, the peace of God came. How often do you think our lack of peace is directly connected to our inability to surrender our will in places where we don't want to go?
Probably always. You know, because, you know, there is always a struggle within each of us who are Christians, who have received the Holy Spirit. We are called to live by that Spirit, but the flesh pull is still very strong in us. And so there's a conscious decision that we have to make every day. Am I going to live by the Spirit that is within me, or am I going to live by my own flesh, my own will, whatever makes me happy, whatever fulfills me the most, instead of seeing myself as a servant of God. If I see myself as a servant of God, then I want to walk in that Spirit, and the Spirit produces fruit if we are walking in it, and that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we see that not only is peace a fruit of the Spirit that manifests itself if we are walking by God's power and Spirit in our lives, but also joy. And so I have found that even after such great heartbreak as the loss of a child to heaven, I'm still joyful. I am at peace because he lives in me, and I believe in his promises. His promises are this, that it won't always be like this. No, the world isn't perfect right now. It is fallen, and we are going to have to each go through our own amount of suffering in this life, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did have to go through great sacrifice, great suffering for us. See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that Jesus himself went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. See, he could see beyond the cross to the joy that would spring up because of what he was about to endure. And that was us, those who would believe in him by faith and be given not only eternal life, but the great blessing and honor to be called children of God. And see, that's what he calls us to do as well. He calls us to see beyond the suffering, beyond the pain, to the joy that's going to come on the other side of it. For me, I have seen such good come from my suffering. I have seen fruit in my own life being born, wisdom being given, that knowledge that I would have never, ever sought to find otherwise. Like I said before, I ran to Scripture, you know, and I found so much in the Bible about suffering. Suffering produces in us endurance, character, hope, steadfastness. Jesus himself said that in this world we will have trouble, but we are to take heart. And in some versions of the Bible, that take heart is translated, be of good cheer, because he has overcome this fallen world. And we can trust that in the end, everything is going to be made right again.
We've got about 2 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, Sherry. And so you may have to carry mm-hmm. this answer over to the other side. But start talking mm-hmm. a bit, if you would, about as you started to wrestle with God about the answer to the why question. Okay, I get, Lord, that you're sovereign over this death of my little boy.
Right.
But answer me the why question. How did the Lord answer that for you?
Well, One of the things was, well, you know, I'm wrestling with this. I'm baffled, and I look up to heaven, and I just say, "But we were so happy. We were so happy, God." And I heard him say in that still small voice, "But I want you to be holy. Holy. That's what my life was meant to run after, not happiness, not all the wonderful things that the world had to offer, not this perfect life, this idyllic family with beautiful, perfect children and a nice home, nice marriage, everything just the way I had always wanted it to be. No, that's not what I'm supposed to be running after. I'm supposed to be running after God and his holiness. And that may not necessarily be happiness 24/7. Yes, I will always have joy in my life. But the Bible teaches us that there are going to be times of great happiness in our lives and times of great sorrow. The Lord gives, he takes away. And we are to praise him either way, either way. God is good, and he has a great plan for our lives. And I have learned that his plans are perfect, regardless of if I am walking through a valley, I'm still holding on to his hand and seeking answers, or whether I'm on the mountaintop. He's there, too.
Talking to Sherry Burgess. We're going to talk when we come back about how to grieve what you're losing on this earth with a vision of eternity, of what you're gaining in eternity. Scripture says these things we're dealing with are light and momentary compared to the weightiness of glory. We're going to talk about that when we return. Don't go away. More when we come back.
We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Hope you're having a good day today. Spoke at a conference this last fall. I bet there were 3,000 women in that room, and I said, who of you are either walking through the valley of the shadow or you love someone who is? You know, almost every single person raised their hands. This is the kind of day we're in. Things are being shaken. Talking to Sherry Burgess today, title of her book is Bronner. That's the name of her son, A Journey to Understand. The cover is this beautiful, tiny, darling toddler boy that died too young, at two years old. Was he two and a half years old?
2 and a half, yes.
Drowned in the family pool. And Sherry's talking about what God has taught her about eternity, about life on earth. And they were sold out Christians before this happened, but God is deep in the roots. And I would love to know, Sherry, prior to Bronner's homegoing, what your thoughts on heaven were, and what are your thoughts on heaven now?
Well, you know, Like most of us, I don't think I really thought that much about heaven. I knew that I was going to go there someday in the distant future. But now that Bronner's there, I think about it all the time. And I read books about heaven, and I'm just, oh gosh, just the more I read and the more I study about heaven, it just sounds like the most amazing place ever. And I can't wait to go there someday. But I feel that now God has taken me to a place like he did with Paul, that I understand that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yes, where Bronner is far greater than where I am right now, but God has chosen to leave me here for the time being. And if I am in the flesh, then that means fruitful labor for me. That means that I am working, that I am going, that I'm doing, that I'm speaking, writing, whatever he calls me to do, then that's what I should be doing. And it's hard. I had a friend recently have a heart attack. He dreamed of heaven while he was on the hospital table. And, you know, just this complete peace came over him. And he said, you know, I'm going to be fine either way. This is great, but this is great. And he said about this passage of scripture, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The dying's the easy part. You know, when we go to heaven, that is the place we want to be. It is far greater. But sometimes the living can be hard.
Yeah.
But God is there for us in the good times and in the bad. He's right there in the boat with us in the storm, and he can calm those storms if we'll just let him, if we'll reach out to him. I encourage everyone who is going through any kind of suffering or pain or even dilemma in their life to just run to God with everything that they are and search him out, ask questions. I know from experience that God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. He was with me in that storm, and I could hear him in ways that I never could before, not audibly, but it was clear and distinct. I told you that I looked to heaven and said, but we were so happy, and I heard God say to me, but I want you to be holy. There was another time when I had gotten this book in the mail from a pastor whose son had also drowned. And when I read that this pastor had suffered the same way that I had, and I just burst into tears, and I cried, and I said to God, why the children? Why do you take the children? Why this pastor's son who had devoted his life to you? Why my son that I wanted? I said to God, there is nothing worse than losing a child. I know you lost your son, but you got him back after 3 days. 3 days. And I heard him say to me clearly and distinctly, but what about the others? They're all mine. You're going to get this glorious reunion with your son, but I don't get that with all of mine. And at that moment, I think it was the first time in my life I had compassion for God. I understood that this wasn't just about me and my pain, but this was about bringing some of God's lost children home to himself. And they have. We have seen that in great, great numbers. My husband speaks about this a good bit. I do. And I hope that my book, Bronner, A Journey to Understand, will help others to find not only the reason behind the suffering in their life, but to find God himself and to see that he is so compassionate. He's so loving. See, God is looking at the big picture. He's got me. He's got my husband, Rick. He's got Bronner. And he knew which way we would take when this happened. He knew. But he also knew that he could use this for his glory, for his kingdom, and to bring some of those lost children home to himself. And so if that is the case, then I submit. And the reason I submit to that, and I can say that it is all worth it, is because I love God. He is my Father. I look at him as my Father. And if I love him, then I don't want him to despair the way that I did at the loss of my child. I know what it feels like to be separated from my child. And it's not fun. It's not good. But see, like I say, my suffering is temporary, and I'm going to get Bronner back. I am going to get that glorious reunion, and he's going to run in my arms. I'm going to hold him, and I'm going to love him forever. And that is eternity. That's what I've got to look forward to. But see, the Bible teaches us that God delights in the death of his saints because they're coming to him, but he does not delight in real death, the kind of death that separates souls from their maker forever. See, that's why I never say that Bronner died, because I feel that Bronner is the opposite of dead. He's in the presence of God. And I see real death as that eternal separation from God. That is going to happen to many, many people. The Bible tells us that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So, yes, we're going to have some hard times, and it's going to be rough from time to time. But God's got the bigger picture in mind, the bigger plan, to save as many souls as he possibly can. And I want to help him do that. And if that means being separated from my baby for a while, then that's okay with me.
Your husband made a statement where he said something to the effect of, Satan, you've miscalculated this attack as far as you've miscalculated who it is you're messing with. Unpack that a bit,
yeah.
Because you've seen amazing fruit come out of this amazing tragedy.
Well, that was certainly some fruit that came out of it, and that was to embolden my husband like never before. See, he's a radio show host as well, Rick from the Rick and Bubba Show, if you've ever heard of it. And he often talks about his love for the Lord, but see, his radio show is not... it's not a Christian radio station. He's on a country music station and then syndicated to several other stations around the country. So it's a secular radio show. And so he talked about Jesus from time to time, along with, you know, comedy, life, politics, football, whatever was going on, you know. But there's been a shift in Rick, and that is, wow, any chance he gets to talk about God, he does, and he is fearless about it. He is so bold. You know, there were people that actually said to Rick, you know, all this Jesus stuff you used to talk about, I thought it was fake until I saw your reaction to what happened with your son. And that was just, number one, not to get angry at God the way that so many people do. And that, by the way, is a mistake. Mm-hmm. Do not get angry at God. It is Satan. It is sin that you should be angry at, because sin, when sin entered into the world, that's what caused all these problems. God did not cause these problems. Sin did. And so Rick got angry at the sin of the world and at Satan, and he became like this warrior. That night in the hospital was when it all started. He was speaking at a youth conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, the night that it happened. And he kind of worked it out with God on the plane ride home. He said to God, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, Rick heard from God as well. He heard God say to him, I want them to be perplexed. I want your response to this to leave no doubt as to who I am. And so Rick was ready. He had been praying the whole way to the hospital. And when he came into the room, I, of course, was crushed and devastated and brokenhearted. My pastor was there, Michael Adler, my dear friend, who is your dear friend's brother, which is interesting, was there as well, and his beautiful wife, Linda, and some other friends from our church who had gotten there quickly. They had been hashing it out with me, but when Rick entered the room, everything seemed to shift. He came in with this authority, with this power, and he swooped me up in his arms, first of all, and made me feel so safe with him. But then he went into the room where Bronner was still. We were in this little holding room, and Bronner was still in with the emergency workers on the table, and I did not want to go back in there at that time, but Rick did with his men friends to say goodbye, and he immediately at that time started witnessing to the people in the room, and we learned later that the doctor in charge that night gave his life to Christ. So he started praying for people right then and there and just was on fire. Just this boldness, warrior-like spirit came upon him. And he took that into the pulpit at our son's memorial on that Tuesday and gave this awe-inspiring, spirit-filled sermon that just was so, so beautiful, but was life transforming for so many people. My husband is by gifting or by heart or just however God made him, he is an evangelist. And so he just started praying with people right then and there. But many, many people prayed to receive Christ at at the memorial service. And there were hundreds, when I say many, hundreds did at the memorial service. But then later, the YouTube video of the sermon, I guess you would say it went viral. I don't know, but hundreds of thousands of people have watched it to date, and countless people have prayed to receive Christ from that sermon. So we could see the fruit of it right away in his fearlessness and boldness for God. And I think he was just kind of saying, in your face, Satan, take that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful to see. And I'm so proud of him. I really am.
Wow. I'm going to take our last break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that we don't grieve as those without hope. We do grieve that we have loss in this world, but we don't grieve as those without hope. So if you're in a process of dealing with loss, potential loss, your heart is breaking, you're like, I want life to go back the way it was, but you're sensing it's not going to be that way. How do you grieve as one with hope? How do you look ahead to eternity? We're going to talk about that and that passage I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Nothing light and momentary feeling about some of the stuff we're walking through, but compared to the glory and the weightiness, it far outweighs. Imagine. More with Sherry Burgess when we return.
is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sherry Burgess, dear mother, speaker, author, who lost her little boy, Bronner, to an accident in the pool when he was 2.5 years old. The title of her book is Bronner, A Journey to Understand. Chris Tomlin says this book is a masterpiece of grace. Max Lucado says their story inspires us to face our challenges by facing God first. Let's see, Johnny Erickson, Tata, Jim Daly, she's got some pretty significant endorsements. If you would like, you could email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Bronner in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. This story is gripping. And even amidst the story, you're going to find content that will help you walk through your own valley of the shadow. Let's talk about this whole idea of grieving as once. We don't grieve as those without hope, Sherry. Again, just thinking of those listening today who are dealing with grief of one kind or another and saying, I want to go back. I want my old life back. And I can't. Someone dropped a bomb in my life. And how do I sort through the very tangible loss that we encounter on earth, but with hope, because that's what the Bible says, that we have hope.
Well, I think that's the key word right there, hope. Mm. We do have hope. Death is going to be painful for anyone, you know, whether we're Christians or not, because the separation is real for us all. But what is different is that hope. I know that this is not the end. I really, really believe this. Rick says it like this, you know, if our son were on the other side of the world as a missionary, bringing people, all kinds of people to Christ, we would miss him, but we would know, you know, we're going to see him again. This is not the end. That's really how we see this. Wow. We see Bronner as a missionary, that he is bearing fruit for our Lord even now from heaven. But our pain, which, you know, separation is going to be painful. It is. And I think it's meant to be painful. That's the punishment. You know, we are not with Bronner right now, and it hurts. He was my baby, and I loved him, and I loved spending my days with him, and I am missing out on watching him grow up right now. But that's all coming, and I believe that with all that I am. I believe in that glorious reunion. I believe in that heavenly city that's going to come down, and that no more death will be allowed. Death will be no more. And pain and crying and all of that's going to be gone. Sickness, war, disease, all of it. But see, there's another thing that I have seen happen through death and grief, is that not only does the Christian, or can, I'm hoping this is the case, can learn a new side of God. One that is so comforting and loving and right there with you, and so so present with you, and has the answers, and has hope for you in this. But I have seen another side of this, in that those who are not already Christians start looking. Mm-hmm. They start looking to God. And I have seen many, many, many people lose loved ones and begin to wonder, where are they? You know, can I see them again? Because there are, you know, death does not change love. Love never ends. If I love someone, I love them. And that doesn't end, no matter, you know, with a grave. You know, I am still crazy in love with my baby Bronner, you know, and that's the case for other mothers who may or may not know the Lord. And so they're like, oh, well, you know, if I want to see him again, I need to find out, you know, the way. And so, and if I can point you to the way, the truth and the life, then that would be great. That's what I hope to do, is point you in your grief to Jesus. And with him, he is that open door to heaven so that you can be with your loved one again. I am just so thankful for that hope that we can have, especially for children. That was one of my questions right at the beginning. You know, how do we know children go to heaven? And my pastor was ready right there, and he said, "Well, because David prayed for his child, and then when his child went to heaven, he said, well, I am not going to go. Well, he will not return to me, but I will go to him." And so we know babies, they're there. Children, they're there. Of course, it is not in God's nature to send an innocent baby to hell. But the reality is that hell is a place. And that is something that we need to think about as human beings, that right here, right now, there is a choice. Are we going to run to God and find this open door waiting, beckoning, calling us home? Or are we going to turn away in anger or fear or bitterness and find our way to destruction? Now, my prayer is that we all will run to that open door that is Jesus and put our faith and hope in him right now, today, and forevermore.
Mm. Just a reminder, Sherry, you know, we're not here just for ourselves. And as you were relentlessly walking through the passion and the grief around your son, that God would meet you there, but also lift your chin and have you look at the harvest, you know. And I'm thinking of those listening today who are so caught in the despair of their pain, but if they can step back and say, I'm part of a bigger story, and there are unbelievers that surround them that are watching, as you say, and as they touch God's hem, as they touch him and they experience him, they will not only find the peace to walk through that valley of the shadow, they'll be fruit out of the land of their suffering. God always redeems it somehow, some way. As we get ready here, wondering if you pray for that person, Sherry, listening, who's just trying to sort through their own grief, that God would inspire hope and peace, and that they could start to get a broader perspective of the bigger story that he's writing.
Lord God, I just lift up my brothers and sisters to you right now, and I just pray that your spirit will go forth mightily and powerfully. Work in our hearts, Lord, to heal, to revive, to grow, to humble, and to reach up to a mighty God who is able to save. Lord God, you are holy, you are mighty, and you are good. You are good in the midst of our pain, and we run to you. We run to you for answers, for comfort, for love, and for peace. And I just pray for peace and comfort for my fellow man right now listening. And I pray if there is anyone out there who wants to run to Jesus right now and put their faith in him, saying, I trust you wholeheartedly, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what pain I have to suffer, I believe that you will work it all together for good because you love me. And I believe that there is a place that is perfect that you are preparing for me right now. And I understand that you are preparing me for that place as well. You are perfecting me for the perfect, and I can't wait to be there. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Sherry, this has been fantastic. Hang on, we're going to be off the air in just a moment. I want to say a word to you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Title of her book, again, is Bronner. Just a bit, this show will be up on podcast and our website. Share it with a friend who needs a word of encouragement today. I love spending each afternoon with you, and I'll meet you back here tomorrow.